right, it's week 15, and you know what that means. That's right, it's the fantasy semifinals. We've got a fantastic week of football here. All 32 teams are playing. We've got games on Saturday. We might even have some Super Bowl previews here, and we've got a 2,000 rushing yard watch. Derrick Henry's already at 1,500 yards with three games to go. Should be a pretty fantastic week of football. And obviously, we've got three guys who are still in all of our leagues that we joined at the beginning of the year. Obviously, haven't been eliminated from any of them. No, sir. First up, it's Eric Smith. Eric, how you doing?
Doing great, Miles. I'm still in the guillotine league, so that's really all that matters. We started with 17 people. I am down to the final three. I have Derrick Henry on my team, so feeling good about that. And the rest of the leagues don't matter. We won't talk about those.
Yeah, I felt the barbed words as you said, I'm still in the guillotine league. As you know full well, I was eliminated in week two. Yeah, that one hurt because I made it, I believe, to the top six last year. Life feels a little emptier without the guillotine league in them. All right, Eric. So you cherish it while you have it.
I'll be honest. I skated through for about 2/3 of the season, saved up my fab, kind of got lucky, and now I've snagged all the top players left over. So I definitely cut it close, but I learned a lot and looking forward to it next year too.
And on the other side of the podcast, you have one of the semifinalists in the QB list staff league. That's right. It's Kellen Elslager, who's in second place coming into the playoffs.
It feels pretty good. I got to say, I squeaked in. I got myself set up a good matchup. Hopefully, I get to have a run in with you in the end, Miles, in the championship, and we'll see how it goes. And the Guillotine League wasn't even a part of it, so I can't give you much of it, but seems like I'll definitely get into it next year.
Yeah, when you say you got a good matchup here in the first week, what you really mean is you managed to avoid me in the first round.
Sure, that's one way of wording it, if you want to go that route, sure.
Well, so it is the playoffs, and obviously, you know, we've all been through a lot to make it here. I don't think there's a single person out there who didn't have to deal with COVID scares, with injuries, with players being benched. So in the honor of that, who is the scariest player? Who's the player that you're most nervous about that's going to be in your lineup this coming Sunday?
Yeah, so one of my two home leagues. This is the one that I can never win this league, and I really want to get it this year. And I'm starting Antonio Brown as my third wide receiver. Don't feel great about it, but a matchup against Atlanta helps. But I had CeeDee Lamb in that spot. I didn't like what I saw last week when the Cowboys played the Bengals, so I picked up Antonio Brown. I'll probably bounce back and forth between those two, but I think I'm sticking with Brown.
I mean, either way, that's a pretty nerve-wracking player to have in there. Yeah. Both Antonio Brown and CeeDee Lamb have great potential, and we've seen Antonio Brown in years past be, you know, obviously one of the best wide receivers in football, but both have been underwhelming to say the least the past few weeks. So I can definitely understand them being nerve-wracking. Callan, who's got you most scared?
I mean, in a deeper league, I have to start Chase Edmonds at one of my running back positions, just deeper league, but I guess nervous about DeAndre Swift a bit, just wondering how that split's going to play out. So having that situation going into a playoff round it's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I mean, Chase Edmonds didn't even practice today, so there's a chance that he's not even gonna start come Sunday, so I can definitely see him being nerve-wracking. For me, I made it to the playoffs with like no top end talent but no horrible talent, you know, just one of those really nice, well-balanced teams. So I would say I'm most nervous about Taysom Hill. I'm pretty much streaming quarterback in all of my leagues, and he's been great, but I feel like at any moment he could turn back into the pumpkin. Midnight could strike and he might put up a complete dud and be replaced by Jameis Winston mid game against Kansas City. So definitely I'm concerned about him. Obviously he's been good, but you know, we've all got those players that we're very nervous about in our lineup. So, you know, hopefully they do well for you. And we're here to tell you, you know, who's going to be the good ones, who's not going to be the good ones, and who you should have picked up. You know, I hope that you listen to our waiver wire podcast led by Frank Costanzo and Ryan Heath. They went over some fantastic players, including the always forgotten about Nelson Aguilar, that hopefully Eric has ranked appropriately coming into their Thursday night matchup against the Chargers. And then on Sunday, make sure to check out the live stream. Now, obviously, there's three games happening before Sunday even happens. So that's where our sit start article will come into play. And you'll see that on Thursday on our website, QBList.com, and our Twitter at TheQBList. There's a lot of news and notes this week. I feel like every player was like either limited in practice or something like that. It's that time of year, I think, when, you know, a lot of teams are managing reps as we start getting closer to the playoffs. Teams have played 13 games by now. So it's been a long season. So we kind of have to see, you know, who's ready to go and who's not. And Kenny Golladay didn't practice. pretty much a weekly thing now. I don't think he's going to play this Sunday. But Matt Stafford also didn't practice, and apparently we won't find out until the end of the week if he can play or not. How much does Matt Stafford make a difference for guys like Marvin Jones and TJ Hawkinson, Eric?
It makes a huge difference for Marvin Jones, especially if it's Chase Daniels out there. I would expect a lot of checkdowns, so that could be fine for Hawkinson, could be fine for Swift, but Marvin Jones is the big one. We want Stafford out there. He'll get the ball downfield because, you know, Jones isn't exactly the most trustworthy, so if we're counting on a short passing attack out of Jones, I don't like that matchup. So, yeah, Jones, the other ones I think they'll be okay, but it certainly drops everyone down a little bit.
This is a matchup you probably would want to put Marvin Jones out there. Tennessee, we know how bad it's been on defense, but I tend to agree part of Jones's value is more, but he's a deeper route guy and Stafford will throw deeper to him. He had that great catch last week that wasn't ruled a catch, but I don't think he'll have many of those if Chase Daniel's out there. So definitely lowers Chase Daniel. Hawkinson's just a safe tight end, so probably be fine with him, but Marvin Jones definitely takes a big drop if it's Chase Daniel quarterback.
All right. The Washington football team signed running back Lamar Miller off of Chicago's practice squad. I don't think any of us are going to tell you to go pick up Lamar Miller, but that just goes to show that Antonio Gibson is probably not going to be able to play this week as he's still dealing with turf toe. The Texans activated David Johnson off the COVID IR list, and he is expected to play this week. In week 13, he had 10 rushes for 44 yards and one touchdown against the Colts, who they're playing again this Sunday. Where do you guys have David Johnson in your rankings?
He is lower. I mean, it's a tough matchup, like you said. He hasn't been that great anyway. So I'm trying to spot him on my list here. But he is, yeah, running back 29. I would look for a lot of other options above David Johnson. It's just a tough matchup. And we talked a lot about how much this Texans passing game is struggling last week. And that's just going to hurt the whole offense. So I'm avoiding David Johnson.
That was news that I had missed earlier when I was doing my rankings. But putting David Johnson quickly, probably slotted in right at running back 27, just tough matchup and not involved in passing games. So there's other guys I would take a shot on. So very low RB2, I guess, is upside for me.
All right. DJ Moore was also activated off the COVID list. They play the Packers, which means DJ Moore could be coming off the COVID list just in time to face off with Jair Alexander. But we don't know. Alexander may also match up with Robbie Anderson, or it may just be, you know, whoever's on whatever the side Alexander's on, and he may not shadow anyone. So I don't know. Does DJ Moore being active affect Robbie Anderson's value? And are you interested in starting Moore himself?
Yeah, I am interested in starting Moore. He's more of a wide receiver, a good wide receiver three, I would say. It just kind of flattens out the rankings of all three of Anderson, Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore for me. So they're just kind of all in the same range now. I don't really know who Alexander's going to shut down. So I like them all as kind of wide receiver two, wide receiver threes, but none of them are standout options with all three of them in there.
We saw early in the season Robbie Anderson still be very fantasy relevant when DJ Moore is out there. I expect that to continue. This is going to be a game they're going to have to throw to keep up. So I think both Anderson and Moore for sure on that 2-3 border for wide receivers that you probably should try and start both of them in on your rosters if you can.
Okay. Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams are all questionable for Thursday night's game. Mike Williams missed pretty much all of Sunday's game as he went out on the first drive with an injury and did not return. But Keenan Allen and Eckler played all game, and this might just be them managing reps, and they probably will be fine, but keep an eye on their status. I assume you guys feel like Mike Williams won't play and the other two will.
Yeah, I think Eckler even made a comment that he wasn't hurt. It's just a short week. It's late in the season, so I think that's most of it. So I'm not worried about them at all.
Yeah, same. I agree with that.
All right, Raheem Mostert didn't practice Wednesday. He needed an MRI on his injured ankle, so we're going to have to keep an eye on his status as they haven't ruled him out yet. If he is ruled out, then that would make Jeff Wilson the lead back. He's been the one splitting the work with Mostert. But obviously with San Francisco, you know, they've got Jerick McKinnon, they've got Tevin Coleman. They've got like 90 other people who could, you know, get carries in the backfield. But does this make Jeff Wilson interesting for you if Mostert is unable to play?
Yeah, it does. They're playing Dallas. I've got him all the way up at RB23. I'm kind of assuming that Mostert's not playing, honestly. So, yeah, I really like Wilson this week. He seems to be pretty consistent this year. They like giving him the snaps. So, you know, there's a lot of rough situations out there. I think he's in a good spot. So play him if you have him.
he seemed to take over when Mostert was kind of limited last week. So I'd like him. Don't think I'd have him as high as Eric just because of the situation with the other backs, but he'd definitely be a favorite, and he definitely is someone I'm interested in keeping an eye on and wouldn't be too mad if I had to start.
All right, Michael Thomas didn't practice with an ankle injury. Brandon Cooks was limited at practice after missing this past week's game, dealing with a neck injury that he suffered in week 13. Do we expect Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks to play?
Yes, last news I've seen positive. So, I mean, Cooks is always a little bit of a worry, but they definitely need him. So if he's healthy, they're going to get him back out there.
Yeah, I definitely think Thomas will be out there. Cooks I was a bit worried about when I was doing my ranks, but seeing the limited, seems like he's trending in the right direction now.
Right. Hollywood Brown and Ronald Jones have both been placed on the COVID IR list. We don't know yet if that's because they tested positive or if it's a close contact. I think if they test negative all week, they will be cleared for Sunday's games, presuming that it was just a close contact and not that they tested positive. If Ronald Jones is unable to play, which running back in Tampa Bay are you going to be targeting, if anyone?
So I probably don't want to target any of them if I don't have to. It's going to take a little guesswork here to figure this out. But my guess would be that Fournette got put inactive last week because they just didn't think he was getting the work done in the passing game. That's why they played LeSean McCoy. But I don't think they would have LeSean McCoy be the lead back. So I would guess that Fournette comes back in as the early down back. They have McCoy in on third downs. But like I said, we're really going to have to take this up to game time to see who's active and what the coaches are saying. And we know we can't trust Arians. So Fournette gets a slight nod, but I'm looking at other options here.
Yeah, I think Fournette would definitely be my favorite, but similar to Eric, it's just a very confusing situation where I couldn't feel confident telling you you have to start Fournette.
And Julio Jones didn't practice on Wednesday. He's been described as week to week. Now, the Falcons offense wasn't as useless without him as they normally are. They were half decent this past week. So going up against a tough Tampa Bay defense, if Julio's not out there, does that downgrade anyone beyond, what you would normally downgrade for Julio being out?
I'm just kind of assuming we don't have Julio until we see him on the field. And no, I'm not that encouraged by last week. So I'm avoiding Matt Ryan. I'm avoiding Hayden Hurst. Other than Calvin Ridley, he's about the only one I'm looking to play. I think you could get Russell Gage out there in some deep leagues as a flex play, but it's pretty much Ridley and that's it for me. I don't trust Matt Ryan. He still didn't look good last week. So I'm avoiding this Falcons offense.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is a much more difficult matchup than the Chargers are. So. Same with Eric. Same as Eric. I'm pretty much avoiding anyone besides Ridley, and I'm fine playing Gage in a flex spot if you need to.
All right. George Kittle was designated to return from the IR. Now, a lot of players were designated to return from IR, including Julian Edelman and John Brown. I mean, we're at the point now. It's week 15. Being designated to return gives you a three-week window. So for teams like the 49ers, who are almost certainly not going to make the playoffs, they either designate him now or it's just, there's no reason not to. So do we actually expect George Kittle to practice and possibly return to a game? And if he does come back, are you putting him out there as soon as possible?
Yeah, so we were talking about this on Discord. I felt the same way as you. I think there's three games left. He's probably chomping at the bit to get back out there. They're probably just trying to make him happy, let him go through, a little side work or something. But I don't see this as a clear sign he's coming back. And, he could be on a snap count when he comes back. I mean, tight end's bad enough that if he came back, say, next week, you probably roll the dice on him. But you never know. I mean, tight end's a rough position, so they could ease him back in. So I am not counting on Kittle. If I have him, I don't blame you if you want to stash him. But ideal scenario, he gets in there this week, plays a little bit, and then you can start him confidently next week.
He's George Kittle. We know how talented he is and as bad as tight end has been this season. As soon as he's able to be back out there, I think I'm okay putting him out there. I'm not taking this as a sign that he's going to be back. It's probably just as Eric said, they're making him happy and taking a chance if we can. Cool. If not, oh well. But as soon as he's out, I'm fine putting him back in my lineup.
All right. And then finally, Christian McCaffrey didn't practice. And Matt Rhule said he's not expected to play this week, which is unfortunate because we would all like to see Christian McCaffrey back. But that makes Mike Davis definitely a playable running back against the Packers, who are not a great rush defense. All right. Let's start talking about the games. We have a Thursday night matchup between the Chargers and the Raiders. They last met in week 9 and the Raiders beat the Chargers 31-26 in that game. That was the Kalen Ballage game when he rushed for 69 yards on 15 attempts and one touchdown. Keenan Allen had 9 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown. So we should probably feel pretty good about all the Chargers against this Raiders defense.
Yeah, I think they're pretty cut and dry. Raiders have been terrible defensively. You don't want to go much beyond Herbert, Eckler, and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're all clear starts for me, and I'm not really looking at anyone else here on the Chargers side of the ball.
Yeah, same thing. Jonathan Abrams has been hurt as well, and he seems like he's going to miss. So the more banged up the Raiders have been on defense, the better Vozar's as plays.
All right, and then on the Raiders side, in that last matchup, Booker and Jacobs really much split the carries. Jacobs had 14 carries for 65 yards. Booker, 8 carries for 68 yards, and they both had a touchdown. The Chargers defense has been pretty good against the pass and pretty mediocre against the run. Does that leave Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker, you know, as both players startable, or are you just looking at Jacobs?
No, only Jacobs for me. It's funny. I feel a little uneasy about Jacobs, even though we should be confident. I mean, like you said, you can exploit the Chargers on the ground. The Raiders are favored by 3, you know, so this sets up as the type of game you want Josh Jacobs in. It's just the injuries. He hasn't been quite as explosive. So I'm a little hesitant, but you're still starting him for sure. He's my RB13, but he just hasn't quite had that explosive year that we kind of hoped for.
Yeah, I lowered him slightly just for the potential of them still easing him back and mixing in Booker, but he's still a solid RB2 this week. Chargers have been bad against the run, and I think he's definitely in your lineup. Just expectation is still a little tempered for me.
Okay, and then on the passing side of the game, I mean, I think we can kind of expect this to be a high-scoring game. The Chargers have been a really explosive offense, and the Raiders have been a bad defense, so I think the Raiders are going to need to throw to keep up. You know, are you at all interested in streaming Derek Carr in this game?
Yeah, he's kind of right on the back end of the streamers for me. I got him QB15. The Chargers, man, I mean, we kind of talk about their defense every week. They do some good things. They do some bad things. It's hard to get a good feeling on him, but Carr's been playing well enough. I would expect a solid game out of him. He just doesn't have that elite upside that some quarterbacks have. So that's the only reason he's QB15 for me.
Yeah, he's right on that streamer border where if you want to, he's a fine option. I think there are better ones, but you could be okay with him.
All right. And then Nelson Aguilar has been, you know, he was one of the most added players this week in fantasy leagues. And he's been, you know, pretty hot lately. In that game against the Chargers, he had 2 receptions for 55 yards and a touchdown. So obviously not great. But in the weeks since then, he's averaged 8 targets per game. So his involvement in the offense has skyrocketed. And each of the last 2 weeks, he's had at least 9 targets. So are you interested in streaming Aguilar in like a flex slot in a PPR league?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of still at the back end of that range for me. I mean, I've definitely come around on him some. But, I mean, just simplifying it, looking at his last 4 weeks, he's been wide receiver 12, wide receiver 40, wide receiver 65, and wide receiver 11. So that's kind of what you're looking at here. If he hits that big touchdown, it's a good week. Otherwise, it's disappointing. So I can't get too high on him, but wide receiver 39, and he's definitely in the playable range. So if you got to roll him out there at flex or even wide receiver 3, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I like the matchup for him, especially now with Henry Ruggs, who's also on the COVID list. I think that could lead to some more targets for Aguilar. So same with Eric. He's right on that wide receiver 3 border where with the injuries and game where they probably will throw a bit. I think you take a shot at him and make out okay.
All right, and you're obviously starting Darren Waller if you have him. Let's go to the Saturday games. That's exciting. The early game is going to be the Buffalo Bills traveling to Denver to take on the Denver Broncos. And, I mean, this is a pretty cut and dry matchup, I think, for the Bills. But then again, John Brown being designated to return and back at practice this week could throw kind of a wrench into that. If John Brown does play, where does he like slot in at wide receiver, and what does that do for Cole Beasley?
It's definitely tough for Cole Beasley. We've just seen some pretty down games when he's out there. So John Brown, I mean, it's going to be tough to completely trust him either because, you know, he's had a long injury history in and out of games at times. But I think John Brown probably still fits into the top 30 for me or right around anyway, that kind of Corey Davis, Marvin Jones range. So I think you can start John Brown. I don't think they'd put him out there if he wasn't ready to go, but it certainly saps Cole Beasley's value. We've talked about the flow chart. The Bills need to be passing and John Brown needs to not be out there for Cole Beasley to be a start. That's according to Miles Nelson. So I don't know. I guess the big question is, how much are they going to have to pass against the Broncos? And that's kind of counting on Drew Lock to put up points, which he looked good last week, but it's not always the best bet in the world. So I'm a little bit down on anyone who's not Stephon Diggs. But if John Brown's not out there, then yes, we're definitely playing Cole Beasley.
That's not according to me. That's according to facts. Look at the stats. Cole Beasley is a monster in games that John Brown is out and the Bills actually have to pass the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you add to that the fact that Denver's allowed the fifth fewest yards to wide receivers this year. Now, is that because they've been good against the pass or because teams don't have to throw because they get a big lead against them? I'm not sure, but I think that does cap John Brown's upside to where I'd probably be willing to throw him out, but I can't say that comfortably because you don't know exactly. Because Cole Beasley's been so great, do they say, okay, John Brown, you're going to be kind of the third read and kind of split with Beasley in terms of targets and kind of eat into each other's work a bit? So I think you'd still probably put him out there, but I can't say comfortably right now because of how good Beasley's been. But of course, Brown's out, adding to that, Beasley must play.
All right. Well, also keep in mind, this is a Denver defense that just lost star cornerback AJ Boye PEDs. I believe, right? So yeah. So I mean, they're down one of their top corners, you know, as well. Obviously, that's gonna be good for Stephon Diggs, as he's not gonna have to face Boye. But, you know, I don't think that's really gonna make a huge difference on Brown or Beasley, but it could. Does this make the running backs at all interesting? Denver's not very good against the run, and there's a good chance the Bills are gonna be playing with the lead all game long.
Yeah, so, I mean, first about the Denver defense, I mean, they're just kind of up in the air. They did just fine against the Panthers last week without Boye, but, you know, the Panthers also didn't have DJ Moore, and they've kind of stalled out. So, the Broncos defense has the ninth best sack rate, so they're kind of good and bad, too, almost like the Chargers. But as far as the running backs, no, I'm not interested in either. We saw Zach Moss lose a bunch of snaps 2 weeks ago when he fumbled. And then last week, it went right back to the same split as always, where Zach Moss had 44 snaps, Devin Singletary had 30. So it seems like Moss is still leading the way in targets, but this is a passing offense now. So they're both like in the RB30 range for me. I'm definitely looking for other options than either Moss or Singletary.
Agreed. Can't recommend either. They seem to flip-flop each week in terms of who's leading in snaps and in work. So I can't trust either right now.
All right. And then the Bills defense hasn't been that great this year. So, you know, after Drew Lock just did what he did against that Panthers defense, you know, are you at all interested in Tim Patrick or Jerry Jeudy or possibly even Noah Fant at, you know, at the shallow tight end position?
No, I'm pretty much avoiding the passing game. I mean, Lock made his day on those two bombs to Hamler, which is great to see, but I want to see more of a sustainable offense here out of Lock. So, I mean, it's a good matchup against the Bills. They can put up some points. I just don't really trust who we can play and who we can't. So Patrick's like a wide receiver 43 for me, Jeudy 54, Hamler 65. And then Fant, I mean, he left the game last week with illness. I believe he's missed some practice time. He just always seems to be in and out of the lineup. So Fant's no more than a tight end 14. This whole passing offense, it's just a little too spread around, and I generally just don't trust Drew Lock.
Yeah, I'll recommend Noah Fant as a possible option. 2 weeks ago, he had 7 targets, and we talked about all season. You get work, you're going to be playable at tight end, and this matchup against Buffalo is a pretty good matchup for tight ends. So I'm willing to put out Fant if he shows a good week in practice because, as Eric said, he has been inconsistent. So if he gets back out there, has a good practice these next couple days, then I'm fine with putting him out at tight end. But other than that, I can't fully trust Patrick and Jeudy going forward with Drew Lock at quarterback.
All right, and then that leaves the running game for Denver. Melvin Gordon has been the one pretty much getting all the work. So, you know, are you starting Melvin Gordon against Buffalo?
Yeah, I think so. I've come around on Gordon a little bit. He stepped it up a bit lately. Phillip Lindsay hasn't been playing well either. So Melvin Gordon's like my RB21. I think you can definitely start him. He's getting, you know, 15 carries a game. He's getting some touchdown work. He's had a few double-digit point games in PPR leagues. So you get Gordon out there. You can run on the Bills. Hopefully you get some touchdowns. But, yep, I'm fine with Gordon. Definitely not fine with Lindsay, though.
Yeah, Gordon's been a RB2 or better each of the past – or 3 of the past 4 weeks, so – he's getting the work and kind of knocking Lindsay out, so he's a solid RB2 for me.
All right, we got another game on Saturday. The evening game is going to be between the Green Bay Packers and the Carolina Panthers. And what should probably be a shootout. These are a couple of really good offenses and not great defenses. Let's start with the Packers because it's easy because you're starting Rodgers, Jones, and Adams, and that's done. Is Robert Tonyan also a must start?
Yeah, he's up at tight end 6 for me now. He's, I think, got a touchdown 4 straight weeks or so. He's pretty locked in, so I'm definitely going with Tonyan.
Ditto.
Yeah, Tonyan is the tight end number 5 over the past 4 weeks on a per game basis. He's averaged he's had at worst 13 points in all 4 of the last weeks. So he's been as consistent as they come. Should probably expect another week like that here against Carolina. What about Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdes-Scantling? We think Lazard is more of the number 2 there across Davante Adams. Valdes-Scantling more of the big play kind of guy, and Scantling was the one getting the looks from Rodgers. What do you expect to see against Carolina's defense?
Yeah, so last week we kind of did see Lazard up his snap count. Both him and MVS were right around 70% of the snaps, so that's good for Lazard. He's been limited with his core injury this week, and Green Bay said that they want to kind of ease him back in from this injury, so I wouldn't expect Lazard to get much higher than 70% of the snaps. And MVS, I mean, he had his own injury where he had 2 down weeks, but outside of that, last week he had 6 for 85 and a touchdown. He had some big plays in the weeks before his injury, and he looks to be recovered, so I actually have Valdes-Scantling ranked ahead. I mean, I like them both, but I don't think you can trust Lazard quite yet. It just hasn't happened yet. And as much as we love him as a player, I wouldn't want to trust him this time of the year. So MVS is just a big play guy that can maybe come through with you at a desperate spot. Lazard, I just can't trust him yet. He's wide receiver 44 for me.
Yeah, as Lazard's getting slowly eased back, you wonder if this could be the week they start eating into each other's work a bit and kind of limiting their upside. So I still prefer Valdes-Scantling as well right now, but I can't recommend either. I think this is going to be too split to be comfortable recommending either.
Yeah, and Lazard's last 4 healthy games, he's averaged 17.5 points in PPR leagues. He missed a game against Chicago, and then he was clearly not healthy against Philadelphia, as he only had 2 targets in that game. So 19 points against San Francisco, 24 points against Jacksonville, and then only 6 points against a tough Indianapolis defense. So I can definitely see the hype on Valdes-Scantling. And against Carolina's defense, I think is a good streamer option as well. Obviously, I thought Lazard was going to have a much better season than this. He's really been derailed by that core injury, and they need him in the playoffs. So I completely understand them kind of easing him back in.
And that was Valdes-Scantling, you said 17 points. I think you said Lazard, yeah. But that was Valdes-Scantling with 17 points.
Valdes-Scantling with 17 points in his last 4 healthy games dating back to November 5th against San Francisco. I can see how that was a bit confusing there.
No problem.
With Carolina's offense, we talked about them at the top of the show when we were talking about the injuries. But, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, you mentioned Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel are all kind of startable for you.
Yeah, I got Robbie Anderson the highest, a wide receiver 20, and I kind of copped out and put Moore and Samuel back-to-back at 27 and 28. So I think we've kind of, slept on how solid Curtis Samuel's been. I mean, he's they kind of midseason, he figured it out, and he's been putting up double digit weeks almost every week. He just had 1 down game against Tampa Bay a few games back, but he's seeing a lot of work. They're getting him the ball in creative ways. So I'd play them all. I hope DJ Moore doesn't kind of have the limited first game back off a COVID thing. That would worry me. But other than that, I think they're all solid players. They do eat into each other's work and keeps any of them from being a wide receiver 1 every week, but they're all good players. They're talented, and I'd be willing to start all of them.
I don't think anyone that listens to this podcast, Eric, could forget about Curtis Samuel. Mike Nickley, let's make sure we always remember him. But in all seriousness, though, in their last 7 games, Samuel's been in double digits 6 times, and he's been in above 20 points 3 of those times. So, obviously Tampa Bay is a really, really good defense, and they do a great job of limiting what teams want to do. So he didn't do well there. But, Green Bay is not that kind of a defense. So I could easily see all 3 of them doing well. But Callan, I have to mention, you have Curtis Samuel ranked 42nd. So what's your hesitance on all 3? And you have Anderson and Moore much higher. So what's your hesitance on, 3 wide receivers being productive here?
I think it probably was just a little overreaction on my part, just instant with the ranks of Moore coming back. I probably should have Samuel a bit higher. It's just wondering how involved they'll still be with Moore being back. Honestly, it was probably a bit of overreaction. I think Samuel should be in for a fine game. I just don't know if I can be as excited now that it's a three-headed monster again, but probably slightly overreaction. I think Samuel should be more into that wide receiver three-ish range.
Yeah, and there are a couple red flags. I mean, Packers have allowed the fifth fewest points to wide receivers. Samuel has a super low ADOT, around six, so he's getting less downfield work. So it's really kind of about volume for Samuel, and if that went away, it would be trouble. But if they're behind here, I think they'll get the ball to the receiver's hands enough to support all three of them.
And ADOT, that's average depth of target, you know, how far downfield players are being targeted. So obviously Samuel having a average at the target of six means it's pretty much mostly check downs and underneath routes. And then Mike Davis, you know, with McCaffrey out, still a startable running back. He's been, you know, good all year long, and he should have an easy matchup here against Green Bay.
Yep, for sure. I was a little worried he was trailing off, but he kind of showed last week he's still got some juice left. So yep, he's RB12 for me.
Yep, he's top 10 for me. He's at number 10. So great matchup against Green Bay.
Man, what a season Mike Davis has had. Okay, let's get into the Sunday games. And we're going to talk first about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to Atlanta to play the Falcons. Despite this being a divisional matchup in week 15, this is actually the first time they're meeting up, as their second game against each other is going to be in week 17. You know, we always talk about what not having Julio in there is going to do for the offense. And they're playing a really like one of the best defenses in the NFL. So we talked about it at the top of the show with Julio's injury news, but Eric is not interested in starting Matt Ryan or anyone in the running game. Really, it's just Calvin Ridley. Callan, do you feel the same?
Yeah, I'm pretty on board with that. I think Ryan could be okay for maybe volume's sake, but you probably have better options. And the only other guy besides Ridley I'd consider starting potentially is Russell Gage.
All right, and the Falcons defense is pretty bad, especially through the air. Now, they've been a little bit better lately, but I'm assuming this is the kind of matchup where you want to start pretty much everyone in this passing game. You know, Eric, you also mentioned that you're starting Antonio Brown in one league against the Falcons. So I assume if you're comfortable starting him, you're comfortable starting everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a little bit similar to the Panthers. These receivers are kind of eating into each other and leveling themselves out. So, like, Mike Evans is wide receiver 14 for the high mark, and Antonio Brown's wide receiver 33. But, yeah, I mean, Falcons, you can beat them through the air. They've been better against the run, and they're not one of these joke defenses recently. They have been playing better, but I'm still starting those receivers. And even Gronk, he dropped down to a tight end 9. But, yeah, this is a passing matchup generally you want to exploit. So hopefully the Falcons can put up some points and keep Tampa Bay throwing the ball, and we can get a nice game from both sides here.
Okay, and then with Ronald Jones, we'll have to keep an eye on his COVID status, as, again, we don't know if he was placed on the COVID IR because he tested positive or if he was a close contact. If he is able to play this Sunday, are you going to be playing him in your lineups?
So I had him RB22. That was just with the finger injury. That was before the COVID situation. So obviously we need to find out if it's just a close contact and he can get cleared. I would still play him. I know it's not the greatest matchup, but he'll get the volume. They should have the lead. So if he doesn't have COVID and he's out there, I would play him. But I mean, like, I still have Melvin Gordon one spot ahead of him. I just didn't think it was that perfect of a spot anyway. So if you don't want to mess around with it, if you have a safer option that goes before him, just, you know, I wouldn't mind putting him on your bench.
Yeah, I've had him right on that RB2 border, considering the finger, now the COVID stuff. Even if he's out there, is he 100%? Will they mix in Fournette? Will they mix in McCoy? Just knowing that there is some sort of injury. So this is a great matchup he can possibly exploit, but I think you could probably have a better option for at running back this week.
Well, and Eric, you mentioned the players who played before him, because we may not know, you know, on Saturday about Ronald Jones' status. So if someone has Mike Davis or Ronald Jones or even Melvin Gordon, where would you... what would you do in those lineups?
You were just between Jones, Gordon, Mike Davis. Is that who you're saying?
Yeah. And you throw in the Buffalo guys in case someone still has Devin Singletary or Zach Moss rostered.
Yeah. So I would definitely play Mike Davis ahead of him for sure. Melvin Gordon, like I said, I got him one spot ahead. So if you're trying to decide your last spot, just go with Gordon. That's probably the time of the year where if you know a player's active and there's no COVID outbreak, just get him in your lineup. But no, I would play Jones ahead of the Buffalo running backs if you're dealing with that situation. But most of the others, I'm going to, you know, I'll play those ahead of Ronald Jones.
Agreed. Play both Davis and the other running back plans that Gordon. Thank you.
Melvin Gordon
before Ronald Jones, but play Jones over to Buffalo guys.
If Leonard Fournette is available in your league and you're a Ronald Jones guy and the guys you're looking at on your bench are guys like Devin Singletary, should you be grabbing Leonard Fournette?
Whew, man, it's going to be tough to trust anything that Arian says, like we mentioned earlier. But I do think there's maybe more upside than these Buffalo backs just splitting the work. Maybe we get a workhorse role from from Fournette. So yeah, I'd say go ahead and pick up Fournette and cross your fingers, because I don't think McCoy's going to get the workhorse role, and I can't imagine they give it to Vaughn this late in the year. So I think it would have to be Fournette.
Yeah, I'd trust Fournette more than the Buffalo guys, but I guess trust is probably not the best word to say. But I'd play Fournette over the Buffalo guys.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to the only team that's 4-9 and not yet eliminated from the playoffs. That's the Dallas Cowboys as they take on the San Francisco 49ers. The Cowboys are only 2 games out of the playoffs, so we still could see the Cowboys in the playoffs this year. That would not be exciting. We're not very good. I would really like a good draft pick. But anyway, this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about fantasy purposes. So as they go up against a very tough San Francisco defense, how many Cowboys are even playable in this matchup?
I believe 2, Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, Elliott's all the way down to RB19 for me, and I completely understand if you want to bench him. He's just there because of volume, and there's some scary players behind him. But besides Cooper and Elliott, that's it for me.
Yeah, I'll throw Dalton Schultz in for the tight end dart throw conversation, but I could totally understand if you don't want to go that route. You know, he's somewhat gotten a little bit of volume at tight end lately, but I can understand if you want to go another way. But besides him, and it's just Elliott and Cooper.
Yeah, Schultz was one when I was making my tight end rankings. I had him kind of high for Schultz anyway, and I just kept putting people ahead of him just because I don't know what his upside really is. But yeah, I mean, he's getting like 4, 5, 3 catches just about every week, 25, 35, 45 yards. Like, he's a solid couple points. So if you're in a deep league, you could do worse. But I ultimately kind of went with some upside over him. So I don't, you know, there are worse options than Schultz. I think you can shoot for a little better.
Yeah, I mean, he's the 18th ranked tight end on a per game basis over the last 4 weeks. Now, that does include some guys like Michael Pruitt, who literally had one game where they scooped up a fumble and ran into the end zone with it. So that doesn't exactly count. You know, he's only averaging 8.6 points per game in PPR. Now, he is going on 6 straight weeks with at least 6.5 points. And yeah, for some people at tight end, like, if you got 6.5 points, you'd be pretty ecstatic. So if you really are just desperate for floor, Schultz may not be the worst option. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough San Francisco matchup, and there's really no ceiling. The highest he scored over that stretch is 12.5 points, so it's not like there's a huge ceiling there. And speaking of players with a high floor, I wanted to touch on Amari Cooper. I know I'm a little bit concerned playing him against this 49ers defense, but 5 straight weeks of at least 12.5 points, and he's only been under double digits twice this entire season. And that's through all the different, you know, weird quarterback things the Cowboys have gone through. So Cooper has actually been weirdly high floor this year, which is not something you think of when you think Amari Cooper. For the 49ers, they're playing a much easier defense this week. We talked about, you know, Raheem Mostert missing practice and potentially missing the game this Sunday. So just remind everyone how many running backs on this 49ers team you want to start if Mostert is out.
Just Jeff Wilson. We're not going to know behind Jeff Wilson at all, because they completely phased out McKinnon and Tevin Coleman last week. It was all Wilson and Mostert. So you'd be completely kind of going in blind between McKinnon and Tevin Coleman, I'm pretty sure. So Jeff Wilson or bust, pretty much. He's RB23. And even if Mostert's playing, like, I just don't – at best case, we're getting half the snaps from him, and maybe they really limit him. So I'm going just Jeff Wilson. Everyone else I'm leaving on the bench.
Just Jeff Wilson, but if Mostert – is active, and I don't even know if I'd be comfortable starting Wilson. I feel like that could just be too much of a mess to recommend starting in your playoffs. So Wilson's the only one. Yeah. Mostert's out.
So you guys both have Wilson in the mid-20s, like right at the RB2 range, and both of you have Mostert unranked. So that's, you know, since the Mostert news. If Mostert is playing, how far down does that drop Jeff Wilson for you?
See, I think I'm probably still going to take my chances with him just because he's the healthiest back. And the Cowboys have given up the most yards per attempt on the ground. You know, they're like bottom 10 and, you know, points allowed to running backs.
Oh, so we're still bad against the run.
Yeah. So it's just, I think it is worth a shot. Wilson also doesn't feel like, you know, a long-term future. I feel like if they have to give some volume carries to someone, it's him. So I think he's still, he doesn't drop too far for me. I think I'd still put him top 30 running backs. So okay. I think you can play him in the flex.
Yeah, he might not drop that much far for me similarly, but just couldn't recommend starting because of such a mess that it would create.
Jeff Wilson is still available in 52% of Yahoo League. So if you have Ronald Jones, you might want to grab Jeff Wilson Jr. He might be a better play this week anyway. And then how many pass catchers do you want to start against this Cowboys defense? Debo Samuel is not likely to play this Sunday. So does that just leave Ayuk, or is there anyone else interesting?
Pretty much. I really like Ayuk. He's been getting a ton of targets. He's looked really good. So he's my wide receiver 16. I think he's just going to soak up a ton of volume. You could make a case for Kendrick Bourne. He's done pretty well when he fills in, but I left him pretty far down, like wide receiver 60, because he just doesn't have a lot of upside, and Shanahan does kind of tend to distribute the ball around. So Jordan Reed's a tight end 16. He's in that streamer range, but I don't love it. But there are going to be some points here. But on the other hand, Nick Mullins has looked really bad, so we could just see a lot of running from both sides here. It could be a little lower scoring than we're hoping, because Mullins, he's shown flashes in the past, but he's kind of fallen apart this year.
Yeah, I love Brandon Ayuk this week. He's had 25 targets combined these past 2 weeks, including 16 targets last week. No Debo Samuel. He's going to get pretty much all the passing work. And Reed, if you want to throw a flyer at him at tight end, go for it. He's right around that dart throw tight end that I'm okay with. But Ayuk's for sure a must start for me this week.
All right, let's head to Tennessee. The Detroit Lions are taking on the Titans, and you know there's still so much up in the air. Obviously, Kenny Galladay is not going to be playing. He's still not practicing. But Matthew Stafford, you know, we're not going to know his status until late in the week, it seems like. We talked a little bit about that during the injury news, but just, you know, recap for us, Eric. What are you doing with Marvin Jones, TJ Hawkinson, and DeAndre Swift if Matthew Stafford is unable to go?
So Marvin Jones drops pretty far down. I've got him wide receiver 30, but I would be looking other directions if Chase Daniel's out there. So Stafford's important for this offense, obviously. And Swift, I've got him RB 16 if Stafford's out there, but he's going to drop down probably five or six spots. At least Swift can catch passes, so dump off passes, that's going to help with Daniel. But it all goes sideways here if we don't have Stafford. So what could be a nice matchup here for a few players, suddenly it's pretty sketchy for a playoff game. So Hawkinson would be the only like completely locked in one. I'd probably play Swift just for the potential volume.
I pretty much agree with that. Jones would be a very borderline wide receiver 3. Swift would probably still be an RB2, but definitely not as kind of locked in start as you feel like he would be in this matchup. And Hawkinson, doesn't matter who's a quarterback, I'm still going to play him.
All right, now with DeAndre Swift, last week he was the leader in carries, but he only had 7. And I almost wonder if they needed to run the ball more, if they would have continued to let Swift be, you know, the guy there, or if they would have, you know, used Peterson a little bit more. What do you guys expect to see from DeAndre Swift this week?
So last week, Swift took, it was his first week back from the concussion and then the illness. He took half the snaps. And then Peterson and Kerryon Johnson split up the other half. So I think that was a pretty encouraging sign. He outsnapped the second guy by 20. So if I thought that the Lions could stop Tennessee on the other side of the ball, then maybe they would try to put a lot of AP in there. But I think Tennessee's got to put up a ton of points and they're going to be passing. So that makes me fairly encouraged about Swift here.
Yeah, and including those snaps, Swift saw 5 targets last week. And as Eric mentioned, they're going to be throwing. You throw it to DeAndre Swift if you need to throw to running back. And if it's Chase Daniel, he's going to be throwing it short. Who do you want to throw it short to in this offense? DeAndre Swift's a pretty nice option out of the backfield. So I think he still would be a good RB2. I think their time for easing him in was last week. And this week, they're going to have to put him in a little bit more than they may hope to. But
yeah. All right. And speaking of how bad that Lions defense is, the Titans are going to be scoring a ton of points most likely. And the Lions give up the most fantasy points to running backs, the 4th most points to wide receivers, 7 most points to quarterbacks. So this lines up to be really good for, you know, the top Titans players, including Derrick Henry, who is just about 450 yards away from getting to 2000 yards this year.
This week.
I was just about to say, so before we get into the fantasy stuff, You know, Derrick Henry 2K watch as they play the Lions this week, Packers next week, and I believe the Texans after that. So do you guys believe Derrick Henry is going to get the 468 yards that he needs?
I'm going to say no, only because I think they could really run up the score on this team anyway, and they're going to want to keep him fresh for the playoffs. They may really get excited about 2000 and push it, but I could see maybe some lower volume fourth quarters if they have the game in hand.
He might end up like that year where he fall like at 1990 and fall like 10 short towards the end, but I think he'll just miss it, but it's going to be very close.
All right. It's pretty exciting matchups here to end the season, but you're right. I mean, the Titans are almost certainly not going to have a first round bye. They're probably going to have to play, you know, a tough opponent, maybe even like the Colts or the Browns in their first, you know, wild card matchup. So they may want to make sure Henry is good to go for that game. Hopefully, though, they do most of the resting of him in week 17 when none of us are playing in the fantasy playoffs anymore. Anyway, exactly. Now AJ Brown's locked in. Ryan Tannehill's locked in. Although there may be some people who are concerned that the Tannehill won't need to throw that much, especially if Chase Daniel is under center. Do you guys think that that's a possibility where the Titans may just not need to throw the ball too much to beat this Lions team?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the classic, you know, people worried about volume from a quarterback in a complete blowout situation. I tend to just take the red zone trips, the scoring opportunities, and take my chances with it. So I know Tannehill, he had a down week last week against Jacksonville where they blew him out, and he only put up 16 points. But I think most weeks he'll give you three touchdowns and 200-some yards, and you'll be pretty happy with it. So he's a QB8 for me. It's just too good. I mean, they've given up, like you said, third most yards per attempt. It's just every stat you look at here is encouraging. So play Tannehill for sure if you need to, and don't worry about the game script too much.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it'd be more of a concern at maybe some of the, like a Corey Davis potentially. If it was you're in a tie between two guys with Corey Davis, that can maybe be a tiebreaker, but I wouldn't let it affect any too much of my decisions.
Well, that's actually a great point that you bring up Corey Davis. He was the next player I was going to ask about. You know, Corey Davis has been really up and down lately. Looking at his game log, he had 3 targets last week, 12 the week before that, 3 targets the week before that. So he's, you know, just kind of been up and down in terms of his involvement in the offense. So in this week where, you know, they could be up big, are you guys confident in starting Corey Davis?
I mean, he's a wide receiver 31. He's worth it because of the upside. He could have a huge play, pay off his day in just one game. But like you said, you can't trust him from week to week. So he's a boom bust wide receiver 3 for me. And he, yeah, it does matter more on volume for him because he's going to be the, what, third option to Derrick Henry on the ground and A.J. Brown in the passing game. So that's when the volume starts mattering more. So, you know, I would not feel bad about playing him, but it might be worth going for a receiver who you can pencil in 7, 8, 9 targets this week. But, you know, he could pay off in one play.
If the pattern continues, then he's due for a lot of targets if it continues going back and forth. But I think the matchup's just a good one, and I'm willing to take a shot on him. I think he's a right on the border of wide receiver 2, maybe a little higher than I probably should be on him. I just think the matchup is one that, you know, you couldn't take advantage of the Jacksonville one. This one should go in his favor.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think I'm a couple spots too low, so maybe we need to split the difference on 23 and 31, maybe like wide receiver 28, somewhere around there.
Boom, put on the board.
All right, and then back to Ryan Tannehill real quick. So the Titans haven't won too many blowout games. Most of their wins have actually been pretty close. But in their blowout win over the Colts a couple weeks ago, Tannehill had 19 points. And then when they beat the Bills earlier this season, 42-16, Tannehill had 30 points. So, I mean, one great game and then two kind of mediocre games. But, you know, you'll at least get a good floor from Tannehill. You know, he's not going to like make a ton of mistakes or anything like that. He's not that kind of quarterback. All right. So moving on to the next game on the schedule, and that's going to be the Texans playing the Colts for the second time in 3 weeks. They last met in week 13 when the Colts beat the Texans 26-20. You know, some interesting things in that game. That was the Kiki QT game. When he had 8 receptions for 141 yards. You know, that was the first game without Will Fuller. And as we mentioned, David Johnson, you know, he only had 44 yards and a touchdown, but he also only had 10 carries. So that's 4.5 yards per carry. And that's against a tough Colts defense. So are you guys interested in playing David Johnson against this Colts defense that is a third in yards allowed per attempt on the ground?
I mean, David Johnson's my RB29. So he's just the back end of the volume guys. You know, he's going to see a lot of snaps. Duke Johnson didn't, you know, super impressed with his work. So put him out there if you need to. But he's in that range where if you're a little loaded at receiver and you can play him in flex, I'd rather go with the receiver. I'm not super excited about DJ this week.
No, it's hard to get too excited against a matchup where it's the third fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs. So not too enthused. Volume could be there, but, you know, it's probably another week where he could get 10 points, 11 points, like 50 yards in a touchdown, 40 yards in a touchdown. So I think you have better options in your flex, possibly as a wide receiver, like Garrick said.
All right. And then do we think we're going to see a repeat performance from Kiki QT again, what he did against the Colts a couple weeks ago, or more in line of what he did last week?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, I don't know. I think it actually helps him if Brandon Cooks is back out there. Him being the number one option is pushing it for Kiki QT. So I've got him wide receiver 29. I think most weeks Deshaun Watson's going to give you a little better performance than last week. I mean, it wasn't his fault, but I do have some faith in Watson. So QT, I actually like I said, I like him more if Cooks is out there. They are giving up, you know, they're 19th in yards per attempt to receivers, so not completely locked down. This is still a good defense, but yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about QT this week. And if Cooks isn't out there, I'm probably still playing him. I don't drop him too much, but I'd rather see Cooks.
I'd agree with that. I think QT is a good play. I like the 12 targets he got, 9 targets he previously had against Indianapolis, and that was with Cooks out there. I think even if Cooks is out, that he's still a solid play for volume because Houston will have to throw to somebody. And that guy could just be QT, so it might not be pretty, but he's a solid wide receiver of 3.
I mean, that guy could also be Chad Hansen.
That's also true.
Who's seen a good number of targets each of the last 2 weeks. Now, with staying on the Texan side, let's talk about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was looking like he was really turning it on here. He had over 30 points against the Patriots and the Lions in weeks 11 and 12. But then the last 2 weeks against some better defenses in Indianapolis and Chicago, he's put up just 20 and 16 points. And now he's playing the Colts again, who held him to no touchdowns and an interception a few weeks ago. So are you guys still ranking Deshaun Watson in the startable range? As he's facing, you know, this really tough defense?
I am, but at QB10, this is probably about as low as I've had him ranked. Last week was a worry. I mean, he was getting banged up. At some point, they're just going to tell him to keep himself safe in a lost season. So I think I put him at 10 before I knew Cooks was looking a little more positive. So maybe I could bump him up a spot or two. But I think he's far from an elite option this week against a good Colts defense. So I don't know if you're going to find any streamers I would start over him, but he's not, you know, not top 5 like he would be a lot of weeks.
I agree with that. I think he's just – Watson's too talented for me to really lower him too much, and having Cooks back is a good help to his numbers, where last week he didn't have Cooks. So having another real good passing option for him just can only help him.
All right, so what you're saying is you're not starting Phillip Rivers, who gets to play one of the worst defenses in the NFL on the other side of the ball.
I like over Rivers as a streamer. I like Rivers as a streamer, but I'm still going to play Watson over him. I don't think I could live with myself losing a playoff game if Watson went off.
Yeah, not over Watson, but like starting Rivers over a good portion of other quarterbacks.
All right, yeah, Rivers has had at least 16 points and seven of the last 8 weeks. You know, the 1 week that he did poorly was against Baltimore. We all know what their defense can do. Also, we all remember Phillip Rivers falling over in that game. So that was just not a good day for him. But yeah, 16 points or more, and then 20 points or more in 3 of the last 8 weeks. So Rivers is a high floor play against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So a decent option. Now, the last time these two teams met, Jonathan Taylor absolutely went off, 91 yards rushing on just 13 attempts. They are giving him the ball more since then. I think he had over 20 carries last week. So are we, you know, how excited are we to play Jonathan Taylor against this Texans defense?
I'm very excited. They give up the second most yards per attempt on the ground and the second most points to running backs. So he is my RB6 for this week. He is locked into the elite options. We've seen enough high volume weeks in a row that we can trust this now. So yeah, all aboard on Jonathan Taylor. He's an elite option this week.
Yep. Love this matchup for him. He's going to be in any lineup I can. I'm very excited for him against a terrible Houston defense.
Yeah, he's averaged about 18 attempts per game for the last three games. So that's three games now of not getting into the doghouse. Hopefully it'll be four games in a row after this. Now, with how bad the Texans defense is, does that make like Nyheim Hines interesting as well at running back?
Yeah, I've got him RB24. I know his work isn't as consistent as it was before the Jonathan Taylor breakout, but bad Houston pass defense on the pass defense and rush defense. So no matter how they deploy Hines, he's going to be good. He has had some red zone work in the past, and then just some of these running back situations are a mess. So we've seen Hines have big weeks. He usually gets enough catches to give you, you know, somewhere around 10 points. So I feel pretty confident playing Hines. He's an RB2, and he's a good one. If you got stuck at this position and you hung on to him, he's a good play right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
All right, and then T.Y. Hilton is back from the grave. At least that's what his play over the last couple of weeks has shown us. So are you guys rolling him back out there, thinking he could maybe stretch it to three good games in a row? Actually, yep. I think it would be four good games.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but I mean, I've got him wide receiver 25. I guess maybe that's a little low on him, but I mean, I got some pretty good names ahead of him. So yeah, you're starting him with confidence, and you'd have to be loaded at receiver to not put him out there this week. Houston, just, they give it up to everybody. So get him out there.
Love him this week. Four straight great games, four touchdowns in his last three games, 110 yards receiving last time against Houston. Get him in your lineup if you can.
Yeah. His worst week over the last three was 18.1 points against the Tennessee Titans. So yeah, you can feel pretty good about starting T.Y. Hilton, and that's in PPR, but even in standard, you should feel pretty good about starting him. Okay. Anyone else on the Colts offense worth starting against this Texans defense?
No, I wish we could start a tight end, but it's just too much of a, you know, revolving door there. So just pretty much Hilton.
You can take a boom bust possible potential if Michael Pittman, I think, is the matchup he could possibly exploit. I know he hasn't been as great, but last time he played Houston, he did have 9 points, which he had 9 targets just that week before that. So they could try and throw him with some banged up tight end work. So I'd be okay taking a flyer on Pittman.
Okay. Now let's talk about the Miami Dolphins rematch with the New England Patriots. The last time these two teams met was in week one, when Cam Newton wowed us all with 15 of 19 passing through the air. He had 2 touchdowns on the ground as he ran for 75 yards. And everyone was like, oh, my God, we were all way too low on Cam Newton. And then all the wheels fell off. I think every last one on this Patriots offense. So Dolphins are actually favored in this game in Miami. And you know, there's a good chance the Dolphins are a playoff team this year, which I think is something very interesting. And not a lot of us saw that coming into the year. Both offenses, though, are pretty – there's a lot of question marks, and a lot of that is due to health. So let's start with the Miami side. Mike Gesicki is going to miss at least this week, as he's dealing with a dislocated shoulder. That's, according to the Miami Herald. The coaching staff hasn't officially ruled him out. So I guess, you know, maybe don't drop him just yet, but, it sounds like he's probably going to miss, multiple weeks with this injury. And then, with the running back, so Miles Gaskin, is on COVID IR. Salvin Ahmed was a limited participant in practice. DeAndre Washington, who knows? Matt Breida, who really knows? So what are we doing? And Lynn Bowden Jr. Is suddenly a thing. So what are we doing with this Dolphins? Paint us the flow chart, Eric, for this Dolphins backfield.
Ooh, the backfield. Well, I mean, honestly, I kind of think it starts at quarterback just because, I mean, we've seen Belichick completely shut down rookie quarterbacks. Just a couple weeks ago, he shut down Herbert. Justin Herbert, who threw for 209 yards on 53 attempts, 2 interceptions. Like, he just completely derailed Herbert. And I think Herbert's a lot better right now than Tua is. So I worry that this Dolphins offense is really going to get just shut down here. I could see both teams running a ton, just kind of a defense first game. So I don't know. I mean, I think a DeAndre Washington I've got as a running back 28. On the positive side, like, the Patriots kind of encourage teams to run on them. They're middle of the pack in yards per attempt allowed and fantasy points allowed. So there is some, you know, we just saw the Rams kind of gash him on the ground. So there's some upside there for Washington that I think he didn't have last week against the Chiefs where they were trailing. And then Lynn Bowden Jr., I mean, he's more of a pass catcher, but in PPR, you know, you'll take that work he got last week. So he's like a running back 35 for me. But I just expect this to be an ugly game, maybe not real high scoring, and the defenses lead the way. So I'm not super excited about any of these Dolphins, to be honest.
Same. Can't really recommend anybody. Just the running back situation could get a bit messy with Burita potentially being back and Ahmed limited. Does he come back this week? And maybe, who knows when we see Gaskin, but I don't know if I can fully trust anybody in Miami right now.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are really excited about Bowden, and I mean, he looked good, but I mean, that was just I just think it was a different game script against the Chiefs than we're going to see against the Patriots. So I don't know. I mean, if we only get 4 or 5 targets for him, is that really that exciting? So that's why I'm a little cautious. But, you know, if they do that 2 straight weeks in this game, then we really need to reassess him.
Right. Well, I mean, he is their slot receiver. And so that kind of makes things interesting. If, like, Devontae Parker misses, he might be, you know, Gesicki misses, he might be the only receiver that they have that's healthy. And again, in PPR, you know, he's running back eligible. You know, does that kind of volume floor? Now, I know that you're concerned about the Patriots being able to shut down Tua, and that's absolutely valid. But, you know, maybe just something to keep an eye on is going to be the health of guys like Parker and Gesicki and what that might mean for Bowden at slot.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. If Parker and Gesicki are both out, they got to throw to somebody. So, yeah, I mean, I totally get it. It's just it feels like we're trusting a rookie later round draft pick who got traded during the offseason. It just feels like we're trusting him quite a bit for a semifinal, you know, fantasy game. So that's my main concern, is just we're really trying to get inside the head of the coach here on that one.
Yeah, that's fair. And the volume was pretty nice, but I mean, if Parker's out, does Jakeem Grant potentially cut into that? I mean, he did have 5 targets last week, 6 targets week before. It's not great, but in terms of that volume, if it's a run heavy offense, which we are kind of expecting this week, add in a slot receiver and you add Grant in, how much upside can you really say Bowden has for this week? And the floor could be nice, but I think Grant could be a possible receiver to lead in terms of targets if all these guys are out.
All right, and if Parker's healthy, are you going to be playing Parker?
Man, he's in and out of a lot of games. It would just be hard for me to trust him this week. So I think he's in the wide receiver 3 range, and I'm not feeling real great about it. He seems to be in and out on a continual basis.
Well, one of them is because your guy, like, absolutely laid out Jakeem Grant on a punt return. Fair catch. So I mean, that's not entirely fair to Parker, but you are right. He does leave a lot of games with injury. So I will grant that.
Don't blame the Bengals for this. Come on. We got enough problems.
with the Patriots offense, they've been absolutely horrible lately. Do we want to start anyone against Miami?
No, not really. Damian Harris is RB30.
Even with Julian Edelman back at practice?
I guess that makes it even more of a mess, because I don't know how many snaps he'd see right away. So Damian Harris, running back 30. If things go well, he could have a decent week, but he's kind of battling with Sony Michel anyway. So now I'm sitting on my Patriots.
When was the last time we said sit all your Patriots in the fantasy playoffs?
Last week. Against the Rams. All right, let's move on. You don't want to start any Patriots. We're going to talk about the Minnesota Vikings against the Chicago Bears. They last met up in week 9, week 10, and the Vikings beat the Bears 19-13. I mean, Justin Jefferson absolutely went off in that game. He had 8 receptions for 135 yards on 10 targets. Thielen caught 2 touchdowns on 7 targets. What didn't really get a ton of yardage, but you know, 2 touchdowns is very valuable there. Do we expect more of the same against a pretty good Bears defense?
Yeah, I mean, last week was worrisome for the Vikings. Cousins got sacked a ton, was running for his life, but at the end of the day, the upside's too high for Thielen and Jefferson. So Thielen, wide receiver 8, Jefferson, wide receiver 12. I'm starting them in every league.
Yeah, I'd start them both, and it was a little worrisome, but I agree, upside's just too great to set them right now. I may have been a little too far when I said there's some risk with Jefferson the rest of the way in terms of schedule.
And then Dalvin Cook's an obvious start. If Kyle Rudolph misses this game and he didn't practice today, is Irv Smith startable at tight end?
Yeah, so this was I got a note on this one. So I mean, he is interesting, but I would just say beware, because with Rudolph out last week, Irv Smith had a nice game. He had 4 targets, 4 catches, and a touchdown. But Tyler Conklin also had 5 targets and 5 catches. So it seems like they're still going to split up the tight end work, even if Rudolph isn't out there. And the question is, do they get the passing volume they did last week, you know, in that kind of messy game script? So I think we're probably, he's in that streaming range. I think some people are going to get a lot more excited on Smith than they should. I think he's one of those players that's going to split snaps. So he's tight end 18 for me. You could probably bump him up a few spots, but I wouldn't go overboard.
You can maybe start him, but there's better options. Just it's hard to trust too many pass catchers in Minnesota.
Yeah, and he's talented. Okay. I mean, I want him to be higher. He's way better than Conklin, but I don't think he's at that stage of his career where he's going to see some huge majority of the snaps.
Would you rather stream Smith or Cole Kmet?
I actually like Kmet better. He's out-snapped. Oh, man, I can't even remember his name anymore.
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham, the old tight end. The other old tight end. Yeah, he's out-snapped him 3 or 4 weeks in a row, so I'd take my shots with Kmet. Trubisky's been playing okay, so he's my tight end 12.
I'll go Kmet as well.
All right, and then talking about Chicago, so you know, last time that they met up, these teams were actually Bears were in a much different place. Nick Foles was the starting quarterback, and he actually missed some time in this game. So Tyler Bray was 1 for 5 for 18 yards in this game. Cole Kmet at that time, you know, was firmly behind Jimmy Graham, but he still managed to get 3 targets. David Montgomery missed this game, and Allen Robinson was just 6 receptions for 43 yards on 9 targets. But Trubisky's been playing a lot better lately. This Vikings defense is not very good. So I imagine Robinson is locked in as a start. Yeah, you guys both have Robinson in your top 10, basically. And then with David Montgomery playing absolutely out of his mind lately, you know, Vikings have been a decent on defense, but I don't think anyone can slow down Montgomery the way he's been playing. He's been the number one running back on a per-game basis over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, like Mike said, the only one that slowed Rob Montgomery down last week was their coach. He busted that 80-yard touchdown. They kind of went away from the run. But, yeah, Montgomery's my RB8. He's a great start this week. The way to attack the Vikings is through the air. So Robinson's the primary option there. I wish Miller or Mooney, one of them, would kind of take the lead because I think one of them would be playable. But, yeah, Montgomery, Robinson, Kmet for me, those are the primary options.
Yeah, if you want to say to go through the air to attack Minnesota – Montgomery's got 4 more targets each of the last 3 games, so he's getting it done in the air as well. So he's definite top 10 every week from now on.
Yeah, I mean, we know Matt Nagy's offensive plan is to not get yards and not score the ball. So I could see why the 80-yard touchdown would be a problem for him and why he'd want to go away from Montgomery at that point. Yep. All right, and then is Trubisky streamable, you know, the way he's been playing lately?
No, I'm still not going that far. He's QB21, and I'd just rather go with a more established option. I don't know if his ceiling's high enough to chase the risk here.
The matchup with Minnesota is nice, but there's better options.
He'd be more of a DFS tournament play or something than a season-long, you know, semifinal game quarterback.
That's fair. Absolutely fair. All right. We've got a matchup between a division leader and a non-division leader as the wild card Seattle Seahawks take on the division leading Washington football team. Washington obviously at 6-7 leading the NFC East. Seahawks are technically tied with the Rams, but the Rams have the tiebreaker, so they are the wild card team for right now. Now this is a really interesting game as it's really two opposite styles. Seahawks have, you know, done it all year on absolutely fantastic offense, and a defense that has been mostly terrible, but has actually been pretty good last few weeks. And then I don't think anyone is going to say Washington's offense is anything special, but their defense absolutely is. So let's start with Seattle's side of the ball. Is Washington's defense good enough to slow down anyone out of the starting range?
Not out of the starting range. It was enough for me to knock Russell Wilson down to QB7. But no, other than that, I'm starting Metcalf, Lockett, Carson, Wilson. Yeah, so keep them in their lineups.
It was enough for me to somewhat lower Tyler Lockett. He's been very concerning of late, but you still got to roll him out there. But other than that, you start everyone you're supposed to start in Seattle. And you still start Lockett. Just temper expectations a bit.
Yeah, my big concern is Seattle's paper-thin offensive line going up against a Washington team that is fourth in sack percentage. But, you know, Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, he gets the job done. And you know, Metcalf and Lockett don't need a ton of time, you know, to get wide open. You know, Metcalf can burn past pretty much anyone. So Yeah, you can pretty much start all four of them with confidence. Now on the Washington side, first of all, Alex Smith has not yet practiced this week. You know, he's dealing with a calf injury. We don't know what the status of him is going to be on Sunday. Does it make a difference to you on guys like J.D. McKissic and Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas? Does it make a difference whether Alex Smith or Dwayne Haskins is at quarterback?
Yeah, it does. It makes a big difference. I kind of get the impression that Alex Smith's going to play. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I think I definitely know they want him out there. And
yeah,
it doesn't seem to be a major injury. So they just kind of been saying he needs rest. So maybe they get him through practice and get him out there. But McKissic, he's much better with Smith. Logan Thomas is much better with Smith. McLaurin is maybe better with Haskins. I got McKissic like RB27. I might rank him up higher if I know Smith's out there. But I'm dropping Logan Thomas, I think, a pretty good amount of Haskins out there. So those are the ones that kind of fluctuate along with the quarterback for me.
Yeah, I think I'd still probably put Thomas up there, even if Haskins is out at quarterback. I think he's been playing too well of late, and Haskins is throwing the ball a little bit deeper, so they could create a little more deeper play potential for Thomas. It helps McLaurin a lot in my mind. For me, the Ohio State connection, I think, is great. And yeah, McLaurin, he's been getting the work, but it's been a lot of shorter targets with Alex Smith, and two catches each of the last 2 weeks. It's been slightly concerning, so that I'm lowering McLaurin a bit, but either way, he's obviously still starting. McKissic, the volume could be there either way, but definitely a better play with Smith than Haskins.
My concern with Logan Thomas is just that, I mean, beginning of the year, he was getting all these targets from Haskins, and he was not producing. I mean, he had waivers in a lot of leagues, and it took him a while to kind of become a real starter in fantasy leagues. And I think a lot of that was Haskins just, I don't know, he just wasn't getting the ball to him. So that would be my concern with Thomas. It was some empty targets earlier in the year.
That's fair.
If I remember correctly, because obviously Logan Thomas was a big, point of interest for us, QB list, and Ben Brown did that fantastic going deep on him. So he was like definitely a tight end of interest. I think someone had shown that Logan Thomas was like top four in tight ends and uncatchable passes when he was playing with Dwayne Haskins. So it's just one of those things. You're absolutely right. He was getting the targets, just they weren't anywhere actually close to him. Kind of getting the targets by default, potentially. Much better with Alex Smith under center. So I completely agree. I think if Haskins is under center, I would definitely be looking elsewhere at tight end than Logan Thomas. In fact, let's go to your rankings real quick, Eric. Yeah. I'm just going to look around at tight end real quick. So Logan Thomas, this is with Dwayne Haskins under center. Logan Thomas or Cole Kmet?
I would go Cole Kmet.
What about Jordan Reed?
That's right about the cutoff. I think I'd still go Logan Thomas over Jordan Reed. I know it's a good matchup for Reed, but he's just been kind of unexciting, and I'd rather chase the upside that maybe Haskins and Thomas have figured this out.
I think I'll still buy into Logan Thomas just kind of having his emergence right now. And even if Haskins is, I think I'd still go Thomas over both of them.
Okay. All right. I think that's it for this Washington offense. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. This is the second biggest spread of the week as the Ravens are favored by 13 points. You know, maybe they'll get a safety right at the end of the game to cover the spread. You know, I feel really bad for anyone that bet, Browns like +3 on that one. Although I think I saw, was it DraftKings or FanDuel was offering a credit to anyone who bet Browns +3 to +4 as they got, completely screwed out of that game. So double check your FanDuel or DraftKings if you made that bet. All right. With Baltimore, they're playing one of the worst defenses in the NFL. How many players are we starting against Jacksonville?
Against Jacksonville, we're starting Lamar. We're starting Dobbins. We're starting Andrews. I think the main questions are Gus Edwards and Marquise Brown. Oh, no, Marquise Brown, we can't start anymore. So Gus Edwards, I have RB31. It's not a great ranking, but I do think he's a decent shot at a touchdown. So if you're in a bad spot, I wouldn't feel too bad about Gus Edwards here.
I would agree with all that. Start Jackson, start Dobbins, start Andrews, and if Marquise Brown can clear the protocol in time, if he is, then you can probably start Brown too.
Yeah, again, we don't know if Hollywood Brown is tested positive or close contact. So if it's just close contact, he could potentially be ready on Sunday if he continues to test negative. Gus Edwards had two touchdowns last week. 2 weeks ago against Dallas, he had 101 yards on seven carries, and Jacksonville's rush defense is pretty much just as bad as Dallas's. So I could 100% see, you know, streaming him if you're in a tough spot at running back. He's got a high ceiling for sure.
Dobbins did take over the snaps, though, so I will say that. But no, Edwards, he'll fall into the end zone, though, so it's not a bad play.
Yeah, the Gus bus always finds his way into the end zone. Yeah. Now, Jacksonville is playing a very, very tough defense, you know, a team that really gets after the quarterback and doesn't allow a ton of yards to the air. So, you know, I have DJ Chark in a league, and, you know, I was looking at potentially playing him. Talk me out of that, because I'm pretty sure playing DJ Chark's not a great idea.
No, it's not. He's just kind of getting empty targets here. Maybe Minshew helps, but no, I've got a wide receiver 35. It's just a tough matchup. Third fewest yards allowed in the air for the Ravens defense. Other than that Browns game, it got a little wild, but I this is a defense you want to avoid.
Yeah, I don't have too much interest. First two games of the season, he had seven targets combined, and that was with Minshew starting. I know he probably picked it up, but I can't trust him against Baltimore, even if Minshew maybe is the better quarterback of every quarterback Jacksonville's used this year.
Yeah, it's they've definitely gone through their fair share. And then James Robinson is locked in at running back, right?
Yep, RB10. I mean, it's you don't like the matchup, but hey, he's on the field every snap, so we got to get him out there.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the game with the biggest spread of the week, as the Rams have a 17-point spread against the Jets. I'm going to ask you guys real quick, would you still bet on the Rams to cover the spread in this game?
Sure, why not? I don't know if the Jets are going to score 7.
Yeah, but do you think the Rams are going to score more than 20?
Yeah, I think so.
Easily. Okay.
I don't know. The Rams are very similar to the Bears in that I think their offensive strategy is to not get yards and not score the ball. So, you know, they seem to really like winning games by low scores. But, you know, they've got the 0-13 Jets, and let's just make it real simple. Would you rather start 0 Jets or 13 Jets?
0.
0.
Would you rather start 0 Jets or 1 Jet?
0.
0.
Jameson Crowder did miss practice with a calf injury. He's probably the only player that would have been interesting, but the Rams are the number one defense against wide receivers, number one defense in the air. So, yeah, not looking great. And LaMichael P. Ryan was designated to return. But again, you know, yeah. Frank Gore's there. So not that that makes a difference. On the Rams side of the ball, you know, the Jets, the one thing they do is they don't allow a ton of yards on the ground. Which is surprising considering most teams are up by a lot on them. You'd think teams would run all over them, but they don't. You know, are you still starting Cam Akers?
Yeah, he's running back 14. I mean, they're fourth best in yards per attempt on the ground. So, yeah, they're really limiting per attempt, but you're getting volume because they're losing. So I'm definitely going to play Akers. You can't sit him after that last week. But RB14, maybe not as high as some would have him against the Jets. So I do agree with you a little bit. And that is a little bit of the concern here is the Rams love to run the ball. Not the greatest matchup running the ball against the Jets. So hopefully they put it in Goff's hands and get a big lead early. But we've seen Goff kind of fall through in some good matchups as well. So he's my QB13. I'm most excited about Akers, Woods, and Kupp. The rest of the offense is just kind of mediocre here.
Akers had a season high in terms of snap percentage last week. I think he is a must play against the Jets after week he had last week.
All right, and then Woods and Kupp are must plays per usual. But what about Jared Goff, Callen? Eric mentioned he's in the streaming conversation for him. Is he as well for you?
Yeah, he's top 10 for me. I think this is a matchup you take advantage of. We mentioned that there maybe could be struggles on the run in terms of the Jets are actually decent running the ball against the run, but they're not decent against pass, so I think Goff, this could be one he blows up against.
All right. Let's talk about the Eagles-Cardinals matchup. Should be a really interesting one, as this is going to be Jalen Hurts' second start at quarterback. And, I mean, he had quite the week this past week, really getting it done on the ground. Do you guys think that we're going to see more of the same? And is Jalen Hurts a streamable quarterback? I mean, I know it's tough to want to do it in the semifinal, but some people might be in a position like that.
Yeah, so he's definitely high risk, high reward for me. I have him ranked QB 16, and it feels like hedging. It just depends on how much risk you want to take on here. If you get another 100-yard day out of him, you're certainly going to be happy. But now with a week on tape, I could see, you know, the Cardinals have been playing pretty good on defense, so I could see them kind of shutting them down. So I will say the team seemed energized last week. I would expect a pretty decent week out of Hurts, but I'm not going to recommend him as like the top streaming option this week.
Yeah, could be a good rushing floor, but I agree. There's better streamers out there like Rivers or Goff. I'd definitely play both of them over Hurts.
All right, and what does that mean though for like Dallas Goedert? I know a lot of people he's rostered in a lot of leagues. A lot of people are counting on him at tight end. Can they still count on him against a Cardinals defense that's been pretty good through the air?
Yeah, he's not as high as he once was ranked, but I still have him at tight end 10. I mean, it was pretty encouraging. He still saw 6 targets, 4 catches last week in a game where they had the lead the whole time. So maybe if they fall behind here, they'll be passing a little more. So I'm still starting Goedert unless you really got a nice pickup on streaming on waivers.
Yep, start Goedert still.
Okay, and then Miles Sanders, absolutely broke out this past week against the Saints. Is that because of something, with Jalen Hurts under center? Is that sustainable, or was that kind of like a fluke, big play kind of situation?
Yeah, I do think it was pretty fluky on that one big play, but I kind of had to reluctantly rank him higher because of his snaps. They just went way up. He saw 56 out of 69 snaps. That was kind of a change. He also saw some passing game work. So I've got him RB15. I've got people like Swift and Dobbins and Gallman behind him. I don't love it. I wanted to rank him lower, but if he's going to be out there, if he's going to be getting the passing game work, then I'm going to adjust accordingly.
Yeah, who's top 12 for me? The Eagles have been not as good against the run as they've been against the pass, so potentially they could go his way. The snaps went up, and I know it was one big play, but I think the volume could be there, and I'm good with Sanders. He's back top 12 for me.
Okay. For the Cardinals, Kyler Murray is locked in. DeAndre Hopkins is locked in. Both top 10 options for you guys. With the running game, Chase Edmonds did not practice with an ankle injury. I don't know if that means he's not going to play on Sunday or what, but does his status affect – Kenyon Drake's playability, like if he's available, do you not want to start Drake? Where do you rank Edmonds if he is able to go?
No, I mean, I'm playing Drake no matter what. I've got him RB11. It's kind of regardless of Edmonds. I think you could see more work if Edmonds is out, so that'd just be good overall. But just this time of the year, there's not a lot of backfields we can count on, and we can count on Drake to get almost all the goal line work and get close to 20 carries a game, and it may not always be pretty, but you could do a lot worse than Drake. Edmonds, he's in the flex range. I got him running back 34 before the injury news came out. You can get him in there. He'll get you some catches. He's got a pretty consistent floor, but I wouldn't expect a breakout game from him by any means.
Yeah, surprisingly, Kenyon Drake's been a top 20 running back each of the last 4 weeks. He's pretty consistent right now, and we didn't know if we'd ever say that, but Edmonds in, Edmonds out. I'm starting Drake no matter what. And Edmonds, he has got some pass volume, but I'd look elsewhere. I don't love him this week, especially if he's somewhat banged up.
Drake's been the running back 11 over the past 4 weeks on a per game basis, and he's had at least 10 points each of the last 5 weeks. He had 9.9 points 5 weeks ago, which is basically the same thing. So he's been actually really consistent since coming back from injury. So, I like the Drake play. All right, let's talk about what could be a Super Bowl preview as the Chiefs travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Saints are one of the best defenses in the league, but they did just allow quite a bit of rushing to the Eagles. So does that make Clyde Edwards-Helaire playable this week? He's been a pretty up and down player this year.
No, he's at RB25 for me. It's just we haven't really seen the ceiling outside of just the 1 week where he scored 2 touchdowns pretty much. So the pass game work was encouraging last week, 5 catches on 6 targets, but I'm going to start a lot of running backs over Edwards-Helaire this week. It's all Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey right now. There's not much left over for CEH.
Yeah, he's at 23 for me. Kind of the same thing. He did see 74% of the snaps, so maybe that's somewhat encouraging, but the New Orleans matchup isn't, so he's very low-end RB2.
All right, when Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey are locked in, even against a tough Saints defense. Now, with the Saints offense, this Chiefs defense has been pretty good. They're top 10 in yards allowed through the air, and they're number 2 against wide receivers. So does that make Taysom Hill and Michael Thomas and, like, Jared Cook, like, scary plays this week?
No, I feel good about – Taysom Hill's QB11 for me. I think he's shown enough in the passing game where if they fall behind, he'll get you some points. And this Chiefs defense isn't very good defending the run, so that's good for Hill if they stay close. So I'm not giving up on this team just because of one down week against the Eagles. Kamara's locked in RB5 for me. This defense, like I said, bad against the run, so he could make a day on the ground or through the air. We've seen increased targets, and I got Michael Thomas, wide receiver 13. So they are all locked in, but I'm not going very far past them for starts in this one.
Yeah, Taysom Hill, he's still right there as a potential starter, but it maybe scares me a bit with the matchup, but his running floor is pretty safe, and like Eric said, he did impress a bit passing, so I don't think you really can go away from him too much. Lower upside, I guess, but he's still pretty playable or pretty good.
Okay, and Michael Thomas is a locked-in starter. I'm sorry if I missed that.
Yes. Yeah. Wide receiver 13. He's getting the volume, and he's about as efficient as he was. I mean, he's catching almost all of his targets, so you'll get a good day out of him.
All right, so that's one Super Bowl preview. Who do you guys think takes this game, and do you think it's going to be the same, these two teams in the Super Bowl?
No, I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm going to take them pretty much every matchup for the rest of the year. I just think Mahomes is on another planet. And no, I don't think the Saints are going to make it. They couldn't make it with some years where Breeze was really rolling, and I don't think this is the year it happens, honestly. So, no, I don't think so.
I don't like agreeing with Eric too much, but or in terms of this sort of stuff, but I'll agree on that. I'll take the Chiefs here, and I think someone will knock the Chiefs out – or not the Chiefs, excuse me, the Saints out of the playoffs and – So Chiefs are the favorite in the AFC. I'm not sure if the Saints are the favorite in the NFC anymore.
All right. Let's go from one Super Bowl preview to another potential Super Bowl preview as the Cleveland Browns face the New York Giants. we all know what happens when the Giants make the playoffs, especially in years where they like make the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. So we could see some weird football magic and see the Browns and the Giants in the Super Bowl. But in all seriousness, though, Browns favorite here against the Giants. And I kind of think – we've had some people asking the Discord about streaming Baker Mayfield, against this Giants team. And I'm kind of worried that this is going to be a game where both teams just kind of run the ball and sit on it, especially with Daniel Jones missing practice. He's doubtful. He sprained his ankle this past Sunday. He also has that hamstring injury that's bothered him the past couple of weeks. So, I'm really worried about this Giants offense being pretty limited. Eric, I know you and I are both concerned about what a Colt McCoy-led offense would look like, but might that look better than the Daniel Jones-led offense of this past week?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. And the only time the Daniel Jones offense looks good is when he's running the ball. And he had a hamstring injury already, and supposedly he sprained his ankle last week too. So if Jones can't run the ball, yeah, I think we're probably better off with Colt McCoy in there. So there's also the threat of cold weather here. I don't know exactly what the forecast is right now in New York, but it's the time of the year. I agree with you. This could be a lot of running, and Browns just kind of get out with a win.
Jones obviously has the most upside, but a banged up Daniel Jones, not too many Giants. I'm thrilled to start.
All right. And then as far as the pass catchers, I think that would knock Slayton and Shepard both out of, playable contention.
Yeah. I don't want to mess with them this week. So I kind of, regardless of what happens, it's pretty much Wayne Gallman and Evan Engram and not much else in this offense right now. And Evan Ingram's like a back end tight end. I'm not getting overboard here, Miles.
I was going to ask about Ingram. Okay, so back end tight end for you. So I assume that puts him like Logan Thomas, Cole Kmet range?
Yeah, tight end 13. And depending on the weather, he could be even worse than that. So
I'll still be okay with Ingram, but yeah, I guess similar range. So
we've seen what the Browns look like in bad weather games. It's not pretty. So what does that mean for Jarvis Landry, who people have really counted on these past few weeks?
Yeah, I think his volume's been safe enough. You can roll him out there. I mean, in a poor weather game, he's still a close range option. So I've got him wide receiver 23. He's been a nice asset to have. I know the Ravens game, it wasn't as good as it could have been with that high score, but I'm going to roll Landry out there unless it's just a monsoon or something.
Yeah, it's tough for me to keep saying to sit or to not love Jarvis Landry, so he's been good. He's wide receiver 29 for me. It's just the Giants' passing defense has actually been kind of impressive this year. Bradbury's been good. I doubt he's going to be shadowing or locked in on Landry, so I think he's got a pretty safe floor.
Probably be more of a blizzard than a monsoon, in December in New York, Eric. New York, the problem is that there's so many Christmas movies, there's all this Christmas magic in New York. You never know when like some elf stuff is going to happen there. It's going to really affect the weather at MetLife. Okay, Nick Chubb is locked in. Is Kareem Hunt also locked in as a starting running back this week?
Yep, RB20 for me. I mean, I don't know if that's locked in for you or not, but he showed a resurgence last week. He looks good. He gets chances at touchdowns. We expect a lot of running, so I'm going to take my chances with him.
Yeah, the passing game work just makes it pretty tough to sit him in. Six catches last week. I think he'll be solid. He'll be good.
All right. Yeah, I mean, locked in would be, you know, above guys that you could be getting on the wire. Might have picked up recently guys like Jeff Wilson Jr., maybe Nyheim Hines, you know, Cam Akers, who's available in a lot of leagues. Like, where does he slot in with players that could have been picked up in the past few weeks?
It's probably only Akers that would be above him. He's right around the Jeff Wilson range, but I'd still play Hunt over Wilson. At the end of the day, Hunt's an awfully talented player and a good running game. So I know he's had down weeks, but I'll take my chances that more times than not, he's going to reach the end zone.
Akers is the only one I'll start over him.
All right. And then Monday Night Football is going to be between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. I can never get through Bengals games with a straight face. It's so sad now. Last time they met up, Bengals lost 36-10. The Steelers were 9-0 at that time. Obviously better days for Cal and Steelers. But hey, I mean, this is going to be another matchup between your guys' teams. Callan, what do you expect to see from the Steelers in this one?
Hopefully better football than they've been playing. The volume's been there for the passing game, but the drops have been atrocious for the receivers lately, especially Deontay Johnson. But he came back last week after getting benched in the first half, and they went right back to him in the second half. So even with the drops, the volume's still there. So it's going to be a lot of passing, probably similar to what it's been. So you start all your pass catchers in Pittsburgh, and you really don't touch James Conner right now.
So I got to ask about James Conner, because when I saw that they were playing the Bengals, I just immediately moved him into my lineup. And then I looked back at the last time they met up, and Conner was only had 36 yards rushing on 13 carries, and then added two receptions for 12 yards to the air. So really not as great of a day as I would expect to see against the Bengals defense. So are you guys at all concerned about James Conner this week?
Yeah, I am. I am RB26. I don't know if this was just because I was watching the game because they were playing the Bengals, but that was kind of the game I realized, the Steelers were up big and they were just throwing it. They just continued to throw it all the way to the end. And that was kind of when I noticed that this running game was a mess. So I'm not trusting Conner much. I mean, you know, he'll probably get you a touchdown or decent shot at one, but he's also maybe got a quad injury. So he's nowhere near where you would normally have him in your rankings against the Bengals. I even have CEH ahead of him this week. So I'm worried about James Conner.
Yeah, I can't trust it. He only played in 40% of the snaps last week after coming back from COVID, adding a quadriceps injury, and an offense that just really only wants to throw the football right now. The matchup's great, but there's not much else great about Conner right now.
All right, yeah, last time these teams met, Roethlisberger threw the ball 46 times, and he threw four touchdowns, two to Claypool, one to Juju, one to Deontay. All three of them had at least 10 targets, and then Ebron threw in six targets as well. So I assume all four of them are pretty safe starts again this week. Although, Eric, I do notice that you have Chase Claypool ranked at 42. So you're definitely the low guy on these receivers. What's your concern with Claypool?
Yeah, so I was talking about this in Discord. It's been two straight weeks that James Washington has outsnapped Claypool. Now, last week was a little weird because they benched Deontay Johnson for a half because of his drops. But the week before, even when Johnson had his normal snaps, Washington was outsnapping Claypool. And I don't know. I think unless Deontay Johnson's snaps drop, I think Claypool's kind of a distant fourth here. Or not distant, but he's the fourth snaps-wise behind Juju, Deontay, and James Washington. So Juju is locked in. He hasn't had any or hardly any drop issues. He's a great play. Deontay, I'll take my chances even with the drops. But I'm looking for better options than Claypool this week. And I think James Washington is a sneaky, if you're desperate at the position and you have to pick someone up off waivers, I would give James Washington a shot.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say Washington over Claypool right now. I'm kind of trusting what he did in Cincinnati a couple weeks before with two touchdowns against them. He did see six targets last week, which is a decrease than we had been getting, but seems like they're maybe trying to get him back to work, and I think a Cincinnati match can do that. So I'm not – Washington's interesting for, DFS, long shot sort of play, but I think Claypool, this is a matchup you could potentially see a bounce back in.
Yeah, Washington and Claypool have actually had the same number of targets over the past 2 weeks. They both have had 10 total in the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, I don't know that I'd feel comfortable starting him in season long. And I also don't know that I'd feel comfortable starting Claypool. But Roethlisberger, you know, with how much they've been throwing, can you feel comfortable playing him against his Bengals defense?
Oh, yeah. He's QB12. I mean, there's been a lot of things that I've been concerned with this passing game. But against the Bengals, especially if they can't run the ball, he's going to get all the volume he can handle. And so, yeah, Roethlisberger's a solid starter for me this week.
Yeah, I have him at 15 just because last week was a little concerning. And just the way they've been playing, I know they're throwing it, but it just hasn't been a great offense lately. Maybe this is a matchup that can get him back on track. So he's a fine play. It's just there's other guys who I think have a bit more upside in terms of how the Steelers have been playing. And maybe it's just an overreacting Steelers fan in me that's saying this.
Okay. And you know, the Bengals are facing the Steelers defense, which has been one of the best defenses in football this year. Much of the reason why you guys were undefeated for a long time there, Callan. And, you know, Eric is, I know that you've made your home office in the bathroom on the first floor there at the Bengals stadium. So what have you seen at practice this week? And who's startable against Pittsburgh?
Nobody is startable. Gio Bernard got benched last week because of a fumble, even though it was his first fumble in like years and years and years. And maybe he plays all game this week. I don't know. But even if he does, it's not a good matchup. And it's late enough in the year. They might want to see what they have with Trevion Williams. So Bernard would have been the only one I would have considered. And he's out the window now. We just don't know how the snaps are going to shake out.
I still would be okay with Tyler Boyd as like a low-end wide receiver 3 flex. I mean, the volume, I guess he's been the more targeted receiver and saw 9 targets last week. So if you got to throw to somebody, and I guess Boyd's an okay play, but other than that, yeah, I've got no interest in anybody else.
All right. Well, that's it for the games. You know, hopefully we've helped you start your lineups and figure things out. But again, you know, we have this at start article coming out tomorrow morning on QBList.com. And obviously, you know, you can always find us on Twitter at the QB list. If like on Saturday, you've got some questions, or you can always join the Discord too. You can join the Discord at pitcherlist.com/plus and you'll have access to all the staff. We're here at your beck and call to answer all your questions on the Discord. So, you know, hopefully you win your weeks and we'll see you next week for the finals.